friend, welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 a.m. on Wednesday, the 20th of March. My name is Rafael Caleb.
The Boldness is about standing up for your human rights, or more specifically, disability rights, rather than waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. Melbourne International Comedy Festival starts towards the end of March. It's very, very appropriate. We have found a comedian with a disability, and just because a person's got a disability doesn't make them a comedian either, for all those people listening. We're going to put out the general trigger warnings to start with. The show contains drug references, occasional coarse language, political, religious or racial themes, references to self-harm and suicide, references to sexual assault and abuse. Well, if I was seeking representation, I'd put those out there too. Welcome to the Boldness, the star of seeking representation, Natalie Caro. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege.
Look, it is an absolute pleasure. Now, we're going to get the hard stuff out of the way to begin with.
Yeah, let's do it.
You've been described as having a mad genius moment in comedy. Get your stand, comedian and manager. How does this tie in with seeking representation?
The show in a nutshell, really. You know, the show is seeking representation. It's about putting my best foot forward and kind of giving audiences and even industry people like a taste of everything that I do. And so to hear Time Out say, get this damn comedian a manager, well, that feels like it hits the nail on the head. I think I should be signed already. But that's why I'm doing the show, and that's why I've had so much fun putting it on in Sydney, and I think Melbourne audiences are really going to love it.
Let's dive into unpacking seeking representation. For representation in a nutshell. Now, Natalie, seeking representation, it's a showreel of what's actually happened to you in comedy to find representation. What are the types of challenges you've faced as a comedian performing over the past 6 years?
Yes, that's a good question. And also, I made this show seeking representation, thinking that it was maybe just about one thing. But in hindsight, so many people reminded me that it works on other levels too, in actually seeking like identity representation and diverse representation and offering something different. Because in terms of challenges, I've been performing during stand-up and drag and sketch comedy, you know, and acting all through high school for many years now, but it is really hard to crack mainstream the scene, particularly in Sydney, because that's where I'm originally from, is not that diverse. And this is something that I've written about previously. It's very white. It's very one tone. It's very straight and it's very male and white dominated. So that has been challenging because you have to work sometimes twice as hard to get half as much recognition or support and acknowledgement. So that's why seeking representation is such a, I'm just throwing everything to the wall, seeing what sticks. And I think a lot has stuck. You know, I think it's a really good show that, yeah, it's not your usual stand-up show. It's not 60 minutes of just doing bits. There's so much more to it. It can be quite hard to really crack the mainstream when you're socialized as a woman and you're a person of color and, you know.
Well, Natalie, is that you've mentioned a couple of nice important words there, such as diverse, dominated by white, straight men up in Sydney.
Yes.
How would you describe yourself, or what would you like to identify as?
Yeah, so I'm a Colombian, Chilean, first-generation Australian. You know, I don't think that there is really any Latinx representation in Australia, especially compared to the US, where the culture is so rich and it's so celebrated. It can be quite lonely growing up here as a South American person. I'm also a queer person. I'm bisexual, but I also identify as gender fluid, non-binary. I have an invisible disability. I'm autistic and ADHD, amongst multiple other diagnoses. And what else? That's me in a nutshell. And
because basically, I'm going to do my little thing of empathy.
Oh,
believe it or not, I do have empathy as a radio host.
Good. Sometimes, I'm so glad.
Sometimes yeah. Is that I've also got an extremely acidic tongue too. I do identify as having autism. It was picked up around 12 years ago. And I'm kind of like, it's not about me. So you are not alone in the community.
Thank you.
And so this is just to make you feel good. Now, how does it feel when you're actually up on stage and you're performing a show?
Oh my gosh, it's the best feeling in the world. I am like a lot more shy and reserved in like real spaces, and we would like I can get awkward or have brain farts and really get in my head. But when I'm on stage is the one time that I'm like so in control and I'm having so much fun. And everything kind of crystallizes and becomes really, really clear. I had a show for Sydney Comedy Festival, and because the festival was delayed for an hour, all my audience members had to go. They were encouraged to go to the bar. So when they came in, I had a lot of drunk people and hecklers, and there was one particular woman who was loving the show, but she would chime in like every 3 seconds with affirmations or trying to preempt the jokes and stuff. And that put my focus and my ADHD to test, because I had to focus on her and also what material I was doing next. And somehow I managed to do it, because I think comedy is like my safe space, my comfort place.
Look, we're getting into a very interesting concept here, and this is not to make you feel uncomfortable, but this question may.
Okay, yes.
My experience is I've worked around arts and entertainment for about 15 plus years.
Mm.
I'm not a big fan of the idea of safe spaces.
Okay.
Natalie, you're the comedian. Why is it important for you or comedians or performers to actually have something that is called a safe space?
Yeah, that's such a true and good point, because no space can be inherently safe without every single person in the room making it so. I think it is so important, especially for marginalized groups and global majorities that are celebrated as much in comedy, to have spaces where they can really thrive, and they're not built up to fail, and they're not the punchline or the butt of the joke.
Natalie, you're the comedian. Why is it important for you or comedians or performers to actually have something that is called a safe space?
Yeah, that's such a true and good point, because no space can be inherently safe without every single person in the room making it so. I think it is so important, especially for marginalized groups and global majorities that aren't celebrated as much in comedy, to have spaces where they can really thrive and they're not built up to fail, and they're not the punchline or the butt of the joke. And the biggest part is that they're actually understood and seen as relatable. For example, growing up as a shy, reserved teen all through high school, I was so self-conscious. I never thought I was funny. And then I joined sketch comedy groups at unis and POC review, which is people of color review. And I told an anecdote about Brazilian waxing, and everyone was cracking up and they're like, "You're so funny." And I was like, "What? I just told a story." And then I realized I'd never found my audience before. Like, these people actually found my lived experience relatable, and they understood where I was coming from compared to, you know, the white people I grew up with in high school. So I think these safe spaces are really just sharing in lived experience and commonality and sympathy and understanding each other. And I think that's important if comedians really want to thrive.
Natalie, we're going to have play some community service announcements.
Okay.
And then we're going to, and that, after that, we're going to come back and talk about how, what's it like to be weird? Let's play some community service announcements.
DJ B-Star has just released an album called Invincible Love. It's available through Wild Heart Records. DJ B-Star is part of the Wild at Heart songwriting group. That was an extract of one of his dance tracks, all instrumental, called Goddess, and that is from the album Invincible Love that was released on the 15th of March.
Welcome back to The Boldness on 3CR 855 AM. My name is Rafael Caleb, and I'm talking with a really weird person here who is seeking representation. They're the star of Seeking Representation. It's showing at Melbourne International Comedy Festival. What's it like to be described as weird, Natalie?
Oh, my gosh. It's the weird is the my epigraph. It's the name that's followed me my whole life. My first Instagram handle was Nat is so weird, because I just heard it so often, and I make a joke about it in the show that, you know, growing up kids would always call me weird, and I'd kind of take it as a compliment, which really goes to show just how weird I was. And in hindsight, now I know it was autism this whole time. I wasn't weird. I was just, you know, I have my own brain, and I heard it so much as a child that I internalized it and thought I was like this freak. But I just see the world differently, and I appreciate different things, and I have an attention to detail, and it makes me unique and it makes me different. So I think it's fantastic being weird. I love it.
What about earlier in the interview, you mentioned that you identified as having a fluid sexuality. How does this how does this go with dating?
Interesting. You know, I hated dating. I had an awful time dating. I really tried to be a mid 20-year-old on the apps, but I don't think it's for me. And I think people do get confused about gender, especially straight men. Straight men don't understand queer culture or the fluidity. And if you mention bisexuality like once, they'll really hang on to that and kind of fetishize it. So it was uncomfortable. I didn't like dating, but I do have a long-term partner. And through research, I found that that's actually a very common thing with socialized women who are late diagnosed autistic, because it's like a form of comfort and you really grow to know a person. So I'm luckier that I don't have to really worry about dating.
I could tell you some very, very funny stories about online dating, but they're not appropriate for on air.
Oh, yes.
And you're Same. The person, and you're the person that is actually speaking about seeking representation. What about this stuff about trying to connect with mainstream audiences, because this is a part of a trick question.
Yes.
The problem which I have when people say connect with a mainstream audience, I identify as being in a minority group. My yes. intended audience is not people that I identify as being in the minority group. So why would you be seeking representation? Is that to actually pitch or come up with some type of image to make it more acceptable to other people in the community on how to be part of the mainstream community? But I don't know why someone would want to be part of the mainstream right. community anyway.
I see what you're saying. No, I don't think the show is really me kind of pandering to the mainstream audience or trying to fit into a box. If anything, I think it's the opposite. It's tongue in cheek. Like, at this point, having done comedy for so long and not really being noticed, I think I know what the fate is there in terms of seeking representation. But the experience is just, you know, sending up the industry and saying like, look, you can be different and it can be good and it can be enjoyable. So it's not necessarily for a mainstream audience at all. It's for people like me who are traditionally always excluded from conventional comedy. I have so many queer friends and POC friends who are like, stand up comedy. Like, no, I don't go to that. It's not a culture that they feel like represents them or that would interest them. And so I'm trying to bring those people in. But, you know, it's interesting because after my first show, I got a message from this man that I don't know who he is, but he said, and I quote, I'm a middle-class, white, married, middle-aged, cis man, and I loved your show. And I was like, great. So it's got something for everyone. And I think that just goes to show that being authentic really does pull people in because they're seeing something different.
Well, is that I'm glad that someone actually reached out. It's actually a buzz when the people that you don't know actually give you compliments. It's a real power kick. And this one is from Toasting Aussie Theatre. Natalie Caro is such an exciting comedian and a huge value add to the Aussie comedy scene. That's quite a compliment there.
It is. That was huge. That really means a lot. And I'm glad that this reviewer really kind of understood the show and what I was going for. And, you know, I am hoping, it's wishful thinking, you know, I hope that after doing these shows in Melbourne that maybe someone who has the innovative mind and, you know, the view for potential can see, wow, this is really what we need in the comedy industry. We need someone who wears all the hats and can do all the tricks. And I'm going to sign Natalie on my books right now. So if that's you, you should come to the show.
Well, speaking of which, of seeing your show, let's put it out there. I'm going to add a link there to the podcast with an email way for listeners to click on the link, and we're going to select the sixth person who emails the Boldness from the podcast.
Wow.
To get two tickets to the opening night, which is on
Friday, the 12th of April at the Motley Boathouse in Carlton at 7:30 p.m.
Right. Now, what's the address of the Boathouse?
It's 118 Elgin Street.
Yep, it's 118 Elgin Street, Carlton. We're going to give the Boathouse a little bit of a plug here because, you see, it's one of those places which it's a meeting place for artists, art lovers and lovers of artists.
Mm.
And they've actually got a theatre, separate cabaret and performance space upstairs, gallery, art studios, recording studio, dark room. So basically, a lot of people with a disability are involved in the arts. It might be a place to consider as a venue. And we're going to actually wind it up with a couple of little fun questions for you. What is the best reason to see seeking representation?
The best reason is that it feels like a party. You're going to leave a better person than when you came in. And it's not a show you've ever seen before. And I'm also going to say it's wheelchair accessible. And I'm going to announce an Auslan interpreted date, TBC.
Thank you very much. I've been talking with Natalie Caro, the star of Seeking Representation. Showing Representation is showing at the Motley Boathouse as part of Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Tickets are available from www.themotley.com.au. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. A reminder that the Boldness does have two tickets to give away to see Seeking Representation. Details will be available on the podcast www.3cr.org.au/boldness. The Boldness will be back on Wednesday,
the 17th of April. Keep listening to 3CR 855 AM. Let's go out with a song from Celine Matthews called Above. Keep listening to 3CR 855 AM.